Grandpa, Grandma read us a story.
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen, Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Okay, kids, come on. Get in here. Hurry. Hustle. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Reading a story. That sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, boys and girls. How are you today? After spending some time in Antioch, Paul became restless again. He wanted to visit the churches he had raised up on his two previous missionary journeys. So he departed and went from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. How glad the new believers must have been to see him again, for there was no radio then or television. No daily mail service by which they could receive a message of cheer from their beloved leader. No hi-fis, no internet. My, my, my. Only on the rarest occasions could they hope to receive a letter from him. Seldom, if ever, did they hear any preacher other than their own church elder. Now here was Paul among them again in person. I am sure they welcomed him with tears of joy. In the course of his travels, Paul came again to Ephesus. Here, wonderful things began to happen. For 3 months, he spoke in the synagogue, arguing and pleading about the kingdom of God. Then, when some in his audience became troublesome, he rented the hall of Tineus and spoke there every day for 2 years. Thousands came to hear him, for we read that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And it was not only Paul's preaching that impressed the people so much. They were amazed at the way he healed the sick. The Bible tells us that God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. In the audience one day were seven boys, the seven sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva. They noticed that whenever Paul spoke to some sick man or woman and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be well," or words like that, the sick person was made better immediately. So thinking there must be some magic in Paul's words, they decided to find out whether the same words would work for them. Seeing a man in the crowd who evidently was possessed by an evil spirit, one of them said to him, "I adjure you by Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches," and bade the spirit depart. Nothing happened. At least nothing that the boys expected. Instead, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Whereupon the wild man leaped on them, tore their clothes off them, and knocked them about so badly that they fled in terror, naked and wounded. Boy, I bet that scared them, didn't it? You don't want to play around with evil spirits or Ouija boards or anything like that. Those seven boys learned a lesson that day, which I am sure they never forgot. Never again did they use the precious name of Jesus in jest, or as if it was some magic word. That there is power in his name is true, but that power is revealed only when his name is used reverently and sincerely by one who loves the Lord with a perfect heart. The devil feared Jesus and Paul, but he wasn't the least bit afraid of the seven sons of Sceva. They had no Christian experience. No power from heaven was flowing through their lives. They were just seven silly boys playing with religion. That makes me think, is the devil afraid of me? Is he afraid of you? Whenever someone bears a bold witness for Jesus, you may be sure it won't be long before Satan stages a counterattack. So it was in Ephesus. Paul's witness there was greatly blessed. Hundreds accepted Jesus. When they did so, they threw away their idols, gave up all the worldly pleasures on which they once had wasted their time and money. The Bible says that a number of those who practice magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew, and prevailed mightily. What a bonfire that must have been! Seeing his own books burned was more than the devil could take, so he moved upon a man named Demetrius, who caused trouble for Paul and the new Christians. This man was a silversmith, whose chief source of income came from making silver shrines for Diana, the famous goddess of Ephesus. Gradually it dawned on him that if Paul's teaching spread much further, there wouldn't be anybody left to buy his little silver shrines and idols. So he called a meeting of fellow silversmiths and said to them, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable company of people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana may count for nothing, and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." Demetrius put a lot of fire into his speech, and by the time he had finished, his friends were all stirred up. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," they cried. Pretty soon they were running through the city shouting the same slogan, until the whole city was filled with confusion. Grabbing two of Paul's companions, they rushed with them into the great open theater. Learning of what had happened, Paul wanted to go too, but his friends wouldn't let him, fearing that he might be torn to pieces. Meanwhile, the crowd continued to pour into the theater until it was packed to the topmost tier. But not all who came knew why the meeting had been called. Some, therefore, cried one thing and some another. Then for 2 hours they chanted in unison, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." When at last they grew tired, the town clerk managed to get everyone quiet again. Enough to listen to him, he spoke some flattering words about the great goddess Diana, then added the warning, "We are in danger of being charged with rioting today, there being no cause we can give to justify this commotion." Slowly the people began to file out of the theater. When everyone had gone home and the uproar had ceased, Paul called the church members together, told them he thought it was time for him to leave. They were saddened by his words, but saw good reason in them. So he bade them farewell and set out for Macedonia and Greece. It happened at a place called Troas on the coast of Asia Minor. Paul had just returned from Greece, where he had gone to encourage the new believers. After spending a week with the Christians in Troas, he had met with them again on the first day of the week in an upper chamber on the third story of some local building. The grand old missionary had no doubt already preached in the morning and perhaps again Sabbath afternoon. Then, on the first day of the week, he wanted to celebrate the Lord's Supper before leaving in the morning. Nobody knows the exact hour when this meeting began, but we do know that it was interrupted and when it finally ended. Paul had so much to say and so many wonderful stories to tell that he prolonged his speech until midnight. How many people dozed during that long, long service, we are not told, but the name of the boy who went fast asleep will never be forgotten. You know, boys and girls, when we go to church, usually our pastor probably speaks for 30 minutes, maybe 45, not very long. We sing and so on. But back in those days, they spoke for hours. Now, sometimes today, when you go to church and you sit there and you start wiggling and maybe you get tired because it's hard for little boys and girls to sit. But you know, if you sit quietly and listen to what the pastor is saying, you might not know everything or understand everything he's saying, but it's good to learn to be able to sit quiet and listen, because some of the things that he says or she says, we will understand. And the Lord will like it when he sees us sitting there listening quietly. Because, you know, in life, you can't always run and jump. Sometimes you got to sit. You got to sit quiet while you're eating. You don't jump up and down. And 30 minutes isn't that long to sit. Like I said, in the old days in America, they would talk for hours. And back in the early church, thousands of years ago, they would speak for hours. So you have nothing to complain about if your mom and dad ask you to sit quietly and listen for 30 minutes. Eutychus was sitting in the window and sank down into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. Evidently, the window was open, for the poor lad fell out, hit the ground with a fearful thud. three stories below. You can imagine the commotion. Paul was forgotten. Women screamed, men rushed outside to see what had happened. Everybody was wide awake now as the word was passed from one another. Eutychus fell out of the window, and he's dead. A lantern held high in someone's hand showed where the boy lay, and a crowd quickly gathered around him. Nobody could see much in the dim light. Then Paul came striding through. Pressing his way to the front, he knelt down beside Eutychus and put his arms around him, much as Elijah long ago had embraced the dead son of the Shunammite woman. After a few seconds, he stood up again. "Don't worry, he is alive." Everybody was amazed. They couldn't understand it, but there was no doubt that what Paul said was true. Some of the members picked the boy up, took him home, and were not a little comforted. You might think that this would have brought the meeting to a close. Oh, no. After a little break, Paul went right back to the pulpit and carried on from where he had left off. The Bible says that when he had gone upstairs again and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long time until daylight, and then departed. What happened to Eutychus afterward, we are not told, but when he grew up and heard his friends talking about that wonderful night when the Apostle Paul preached in his church, he must always have had a feeling of regret. That was the greatest night in the history of Taurus, and he knew nothing about it. He had slept through it all. It doesn't pay to sleep in church. One cannot but admire the energy and stamina of the Apostle Paul. After preaching all night, he set out at daybreak for Athos, 19 miles away, where his friends who had sailed around the peninsula by ship planned to pick him up. That was quite a walk for a Sunday morning. When he arrived at Aeos, the ship was waiting for him. It was a small vessel, which put in at various seaside cities along the coast of Asia Minor. Paul sent a messenger to Ephesus, asked the elders of the church there to come and see him. They came gladly and spent several precious hours with him. Feeling sure that he would never pass this way again, Paul gave them some good advice, commanding them to God and to the word of his grace. And when he had spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. As the record says, they all wept, embraced him, kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. As the ship sailed out of the harbor, Paul stood on the deck, waving last farewell to his friends on the shore. I'm sure there was tears running down his cheeks as he called to them, "Goodbye, goodbye, God bless you." Then the wind caught the sails and the ship rounded the point and was gone. Some days later, the party arrived at Tyre and spent a week with the church there. When it came time to leave, every member, including the wives and children, came to see them off. Kneeling on the beach, they prayed together and bade each other farewell. It must have been a very touching sight, especially when Paul shook hands with the boys and girls. I can see them looking up at him with tear-dimmed eyes, so sad to think that he would never come back. From Tyre, it was but a short trip to Caesarea, where Paul and his friends went ashore. After a considerable stay, they made their way to Jerusalem, and there the leaders gave them a warm welcome. It was a great story, and when they heard it, they glorified God. Then Paul went to the temple. He was glad to see the familiar old buildings again after all his travels, and it was good to walk among the crowds that had flocked into the temple court for the Feast of Pentecost. But how he wished that these thousands would all accept Jesus as their Savior. It was sad to think that 25 years after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples in this very city, so many people still refused to listen to the gospel. Well, boys and girls, that's it for today. I hope you're treating your mom and dad respectfully. I hope that you're playing nicely with your brothers and sisters. And try to read something from the Bible every day and be a good witness for Jesus. I love you. Bye.
Lost your white pride? Lost your white pride? Lost your white pride? Find it here at KKK Radio.
Warning, you're listening to news and entertainment the control media don't want you to hear. You're listening to KKK Radio on KKKRadio.com. Warning, you're listening to news and entertainment the control media don't want you to hear. You're listening to KKK Radio on KKKRadio.com.